For those of you taking notes, it's not really Super Mario. I just named him that. So if you're
going to Google Super Mario,
you're going to come up with a bunch of games.
I start SEOing my name for Super Mario. How about that?
Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. You may know me as the author of The Little Red Book of Selling. This is Sell or Die, America's preeminent sales podcast. It does sales and business. And today, we are going to be talking to an amazing guy, actually a super guy, Super Mario Martinez Jr. He is the digital sales evangelist for Vengresso, but more important than that, and I want you to pay close attention to this, he is a LinkedIn world-class expert. And everybody who is in business, everybody who is in sales wants to do better, wants to do more, wants to create more attraction, wants to create more traction on LinkedIn. And this guy's going to do it. He will help you talk about why digital marketing is important for everybody in business, how he's mastered being an influencer on LinkedIn, and the programs that everybody in digital sales needs to succeed. Now, before we get right to the interview, which I really want to do, I just want to talk and just challenge you, take a minute and write down the three things that you do that you need to do better on LinkedIn that you wish you were doing but you didn't do. Most of you like need more contacts or need more connections or want to make more leads or want to make a few more sales. But you know what? Why don't you put down, I don't post enough. Why don't you put down, I don't do enough for the people that I've already attracted. I'm too busy trying to attract somebody new. That's the value proposition that most people are missing. And what I want you to do is listen to Mario because he's got it nailed. Mario, how you doing? Our guest today is Super Mario Martinez Jr., whose father was Super Duper Mario Martinez Sr. Mario is the CEO and founder of Vengresso. He spent 82 consecutive quarters in B2B sales and leadership roles, growing hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue annually. Mario was named 2018's Top 10 Sales Influencers by the Modern Sales Magazine, and in 2017, was named the top 25 inside sales professionals and the sixth most influential social selling leader globally. He is the host of the popular Selling with Social podcast and has been featured in Forbes, Inc., TheExaminer.com, and a contributor to the Huffington Post. Please welcome our guest today, Super Mario.
Woohoo! Thank you very much, guys. Excited to be here.
Excited you're here.
For those of you taking notes, it's not really Super Mario. I just named him that. So if you're
going to Google Super Mario,
you're going to come up with a bunch of games.
I start SEOing my name for Super Mario. How about that?
Then yeah, you have a big cool job to compete with.
That's cool. Stop being so friendly.
So, Mario, you have some pretty amazing credentials that Jeffrey just listed. What got you into sales?
Wow, that's a great question. I actually was having to pay my way through college. I got into UC Berkeley, and it was literally the only college that I applied to because I only had $41, and each college application cost $40. So it was, I could apply to one college and one college only, and I actually got into Cal Berkeley, UC Berkeley. And I got scholarships for my first year, but every year thereafter, unfortunately, I had to fund my own program. So what got me into sales was actually a gentleman by the name of Hunter, who had a really awesome toupee. I was actually working, you may remember an old retail shop called Ritz Camera Centers.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So I was working at Ritz Camera Center as one of the guys behind the machines, you know, pressing the yellow and the cyan, the magenta, you know, all the color coding for your pictures. And somehow, some way, I don't know how I did it, but he pulled me aside and he said, Mario, I want to understand how is it that you're actually, as a photo finisher, you're actually leading the region in sales as a part-time sales associate. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And so when I transferred from one store to another to go to Berkeley, he said he wouldn't approve my transfer as a photo finisher. And I was like devastated because I needed this job. And he said, but I'll approve it as a salesperson. So he forced me to go into sales. And thereafter, I realized that I could sell. And I don't know what I was doing. It was probably just maybe just me being me. And then I ended up getting a job at a software company, an EDI software company. And the rest is history. I got trained by one of the greats in my time by a gentleman by the name of Greg Wolf. And he was an amazing sales guy. And I worked under him. And that was at 19 years old. And I was paying for my way. And when I was 20, I said, why do I need to go to college? I'm making over $100,000. This is crazy. And so I started pursuing my sales career right after that.
Way to go.
So you dropped out of college. You were not an actual graduate?
Actually, I stayed at Cal for 5 years. And I was doing that part-time while I was working full-time for the last 3 years at Cal. And I ended up dropping out. And I got this amazing job working at a startup company that Sprint Corporation was funding. And they gave $500 million worth of funding. It was that time, the heyday. Mm-hmm. And I was working there. I was one of the first 35 employees. We grew to 4,000. And then Sprint pulled all the funding and went in 2000, I think it was eight, whenever the dot bomb was. And I had a boss at that time who said to me, you know, you don't have your degree. You're killing it in sales, but you need it. And his name was Chris Bryden. So year one that I purported to me, he said, you need to go back and get it. The company would pay for it. I said, yeah. Okay, great. Year two, he said, you must go back and get it. I said, yeah. I'm killing it. I really don't need it. And year three, in my performance improvement plan, he actually put it as a requirement that Whoa. I needed to go back to get my degree and the company would pay for it. And if I didn't get it, I would not pass my performance improvement plan. And so I was forced by my boss to actually go back. I went back to St. Mary's College here in Moraga, in California, a fairly well-known private school. Got my bachelor's in business management 2 years later. 2 years later, I got my bachelor's in business management. And it was all because Chris said, all things being equal, you versus somebody else, it's going to come down to the degree. And I'm not going to let you on my watch not be successful. So that's what happened.
Wow.
You would have beat me.
Wow.
Assuming it was equal. But I dropped out for the same reason that you dropped out. I wasn't making enough money as a college student, and I knew I could make a hell of a lot more by being just a normal working person, sales or not sales.
Well, it was funny because I had no other choice but to work. I was the first in my family to go to college. I was the poor Mexican kid, and I knew I needed to do it. And by the way, like I said, I only had one college I applied to, so it was an all or nothing. So either I did it or I didn't do it. But then my parents couldn't stop me from not finishing up at Cal. I will say though, Cal's still my love. People ask me, where'd you go? I say Cal. That was my dream college as a kid.
Do you leave off the Berkeley?
What's that?
Do you leave off the Berkeley?
Do I leave? I actually lived in Berkeley.
No, do you leave it off when you're talking about I went to Cal?
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. Then I say I was there for 5 years and then I finished up at St. Mary's. So I do tell people that I finished up at St. Mary's.
Got you. So that means you're bilingual, correct?
Wow. That's a great question. I am not bilingual fluently. My parents speak, read, and write. My grandparents speak, read, and write. But when we were growing up, my parents spoke to us in English. My grandparents spoke to us in Spanish. So I responded back always in English. So I developed a fairly good comprehension of Spanish, but the inability to ever communicate back. So no, I'm not fluent, although I could get by barely.
Well,
certainly not in business, that's for sure.
There's still time to learn.
Yeah. You could go back and get your Mexican degree, your Spanish degree, and it would be a prerequisite. All things being equal, people that can speak Spanish get the job.
There's potentially some truth that, although I will tell you this, my 7-year-old, he's in second grade and he's in a dual immersion program. And so he's actually, you know, when I can't think of a word, I'm like, how do you say this word, son? And he's like, and he tells me whatever the word is. So,
if
I need
cool.
a translator, I'm taking my boy with me.
The ability to speak another language is just amazing.
Yeah,
agreed. Okay, so you were in sales at a time when social media wasn't really a thing when you got your start. I mean, I don't think Ritz Camera was advertising on Google yet.
Nope. They were advertising 1 hour photos. I don't even think
Google was alive yet.
That's right.
And so now you're this master leader in the realm of social selling. And how did you make that transition?
So when I was working for Sprint, after we shut down this business unit, Sprint basically promised me, they asked me to stay on board. There was two people they asked to stay on board and they said, hey, help us transition out. And we'll find you a home in the mothership. So I worked there in the mothership for about 10 years in their national public sector, global accounts.
In Kansas City or where you lived?
Where I live, San Francisco Bay Area. Yeah.
Got you.
And so about a year or so after I left, which was, I guess that would now be 5 years ago. It was 5 years ago. I heard this thing called LinkedIn. And one day I decided to go out and find a presentation. Like, what is this LinkedIn thing and how does it help? Right. So this is what happened. I went out, downloaded a presentation off of SlideShare, now owned by LinkedIn, found this presentation on what is social selling. And I decided that I was going to do this as a leader. I was going to do this training and train a bunch of people. So I started out with 15 people. They then forwarded out the next training to about 40 more people. And then those 40 people forwarded out to another 150 people eventually was what it got to. And all of a sudden now I became this social selling guy or this digital selling guy internally. But here's the funny part. All I did was steal LinkedIn's information and put it onto our Sprint letterhead, our PowerPoint template. But
I think
you'll
be getting a letter soon.
Yeah, exactly. It was public. It was all public information.
There you go.
So I started training on this. And then when I actually, Sprint was doing a round of layoffs again. And I decided that it was time for me to go. After 10 years, I got a year-long severance package as a leader. And I decided to leave when my second son was born. And I got 10 months later, I got another role as a VP of sales for a software collaboration company. And when I joined this company, basically what they were doing was cold calling and emailing. And when the team wasn't making quota, they added on another day of cold calling and another day of cold calling.
Yeah.
So.
Geez, that's a surprise.
What's that?
That's a surprise.
Right. Exactly. You're not making quota, make more calls. But the reality is that the more calls you make, it was actually the laws of diminishing return, right? The more calls you made, the worse you got. So I started pitching to the leadership team, hey, we got to do something digital. We got to do something digital. It took me 9 months to get about $150,000 worth of funding approved. And I launched a digital selling program at the company I was with. It was about 120 US domestic sellers and about 350 globally. We launched that program and I worked with it with LinkedIn. And I started implementing a lot of different techniques and training. It was so successful. In fact, in 2015, it was the first and only program that LinkedIn ever had, in the enterprise space that they had two things happen. One, 100% rep adoption. And two, 100% of the reps had contributed at least one sales opportunity into the open pipeline as a result of digital selling.
Wow.
So I was asked to speak at LinkedIn's annual users conference. And, you know, for those of you who can't see, I'm holding up my arm that if brand equity looked like a straight line like this, speaking at LinkedIn's annual users conference in front of thousands of their customers for 48 minutes did this, right? Mm-hmm. No joke. The day that I spoke, I received an email from a Fortune 100 CEO, and he sent me an email saying, are you interested in meeting with me and my leadership team to talk about how to scale an organization? And I swear to God, I thought it was a hoax because the name was first name at company name, as opposed to the naming convention for that company was first name dot last name. And I swear I thought it was a hoax, but it wasn't. I responded to it and I'm like, yeah, sure. 3 weeks later, I was sitting out at their headquarters for half a day behind closed door with the CEO, the CMO, and the president of sales. And 3 months later, I went out on my own. And that's how it all began. So it all started from one day just going out and looking on the internet and then pretending I was something that I learned on my own and then started teaching it. And the rest is history.
I don't think you did anything unusual in the social selling world because for years I have stated no one really knows. There are people that pretend to know. there are people who advertise that you can buy a course for something that they say they know, but it's so volatile right now and so ever-changing right now that you could take a course in Facebook 1 week ago and come back tomorrow and it's different.
To your point, we were literally training a technology sales organization Tuesday. And we were showcasing how out of date a certain feature was and what the trick of the trade was. I literally, right before I got on this call, I literally got an email from Vivica Von Rosen, our chief visibility officer, who sent me the video and said, LinkedIn must have been listening because look what they just changed.
Whoa.
And it changes so fast, right? And so to your point, this is why, A, I hate the term social selling. B, social selling is dead. And C, it's all about what I would call the omni-channel, which includes digital. Digital selling as a component to traditional phone calling, traditional emailing. You cannot live on one channel and one channel alone. And digital includes social, but it also includes texting. It includes video. It includes emailing. It includes sales AI-related bots and those types of things, right? Any way that you touch your customer on a digital channel, that's what's digital selling. And that's why you see from Vingresso a massive change in, we don't even like using the name social because it just has such a bad connotation to it, in my opinion.
On your next talk, could you please talk about LinkedIn's inability to keep sent mail?
So on sent mail, you actually should be able to see it, but in the sent folder, and it's not readily easily viewable.
Right. LinkedIn does whatever they can to make it a pain in the ass for a salesperson to actually make a sale.
We love LinkedIn because they feed our families. We also, in the same vein, we hate LinkedIn because one of the things that I think over the course of time will bite them in the butt is the fact that they have such a closed environment.
Mm-hmm.
No open APIs, no ability to be able to import or export your own data so you can actually make better educated decisions from, you know, utilizing from a marketing perspective or those types of things. So I think LinkedIn's gonna hurt them in the long run if they don't become a more open platform to allow things like what you're describing, like ability to be able to see my stuff whenever I want to see it, where and for however long I want to be able to see it.
I want to say just one more thing. I have 27,000 LinkedIn connections, and why they cut it off at 30,000 is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of in my life, number one. And number two, I tried my best to connect with someone to create some kind of informal partnership with them, and no one would ever call me back.
Why?
Because they're stale stupid. Hold on. Because they're a bunch of jackasses. Hold on. Because they are so...
Maybe they didn't know who you were, Jeffrey.
They could fucking Google me.
Or they could look you up on LinkedIn.
Right, exactly. But the bottom line is it was crickets.
That's crazy.
After three attempts.
Well, maybe Mario knows the right people.
Yeah, Mario might know the guy. He's super cool.
Might be getting a phone call right after this episode.
Right, we're like, we'll take you through the trading program. Look, LinkedIn is probably the 800-pound gorilla when it comes to looking at social, right? Of course, there are other
platforms. Looking at business connections, they're the 800-pound gorilla. I'm not going to find the CEO of a company I'm looking for on Facebook.
Right.
I'm certainly, maybe I can Google somebody, but LinkedIn is going to give me background and some kind of history and maybe even some kind of insight as to who they are as a person.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing I think you need to keep in mind is I was just training this a couple days ago with one of our newest clients. And I think people make this mistake. They look at online engagement, whether it's Twitter or whether it's LinkedIn or whether it's even, you know, video messaging. They look at online engagement as a way to just pitch. And if you and I, Jeffrey, if we're inside of a network meeting, let's just pretend that I'm going to sell to you. You're one of our vice president of sales for a large 100 person plus, you know, a sales organization. And I want to sell to you. If I met you live and in person, I would never walk up to you and say, "Hey, Jeff, how's it going? You know, by the way, I'd love to be able to have a meeting with you and actually talk to you about how we can help, blah, 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 blah." Right?
Yep.
No. What I would do is I'd shake your hand, get to know you. I would have done research already on who you were and who you are. I would understand what are your hot buttons or what are your dislikes? And I would try to build a relationship within that first few minutes to get to the point of, hey, by the way, I think it might make sense for you and I to have a meeting.
I would challenge you just to find out that I liked Garrett's popcorn, only caramel, not the Chicago mix. Send me a 1-pound tin and say, would you mind eating this while we chatted about making your salespeople more productive through social media?
There you go. So you know, if I had found that information out and I handed that to you, you would instantly be able to say, like, all right, he did his homework, right?
Right.
And you
right.
now
He'd
know.
He'd want to
Mario.
Talk
so
to you.
The reason
exactly.
I brought that up is that
exactly.
I the reason I brought that up is that I expect the popcorn.
Yeah.
Oh, Jeffrey. Oh, man. Oh,
all right.
Man.
I'm going to get that popcorn
Please,
over to
guys,
you.
Guys, don't send any more popcorn here. We do not
no, we're
need
fine.
It.
We're fine.
I love it. But by the point I want to make is that people utilize, you know, they take, think about email. Think about how many bad emails that you get from salespeople, right? And it's all.
Wait, they're all.
I just got one like before this episode.
Yeah.
it's like diarrhea of the mouth, regurgitation, meet me, buy, buy. And here's the problem. Salespeople are looking for people that want to buy something now, mm-hmm. as opposed to looking at how do I build long-term relationships? And this is really what I think, you know, social and digital is really that long tail, right? The short tail is that call. You make that call, you find somebody, all right, maybe there's an interest, but it's that long tail. How do you build a relationship?
So do you feel it's harder to build a relationship on social?
That's a great question. No, I personally don't. And here's why. One of the things that we really focus in on is one of our five pillars of digital selling. And one of them is feed that network, right? So when you feed that network with valuable content, there are people there, I kid you not, there are some people who take this mobile device and they never engage on a social network. But what they're doing is they're sitting there and they're scrolling, clicking, and reading. And I get more inbound leads as a result of someone finding a piece of content that I've shared or I've written or I've talked about or a video I've created than anything else, right? And so, mm-hmm. go ahead.
I agree, 100%.
And I'm going to illustrate this. I had a CIO. I used to sell to CIOs, and her name is Jill. And Jill, about a month ago, I published a video, and Jill wrote on the comment, "This video deserves a 10." Now, when you go to her profile, and this was like 30 days ago, when you went to her profile and you looked at what was all the activity in the last 30 days, because LinkedIn serves that up to you, it was just that one comment.
Way to go.
Right. So what I know is that for God's sakes, we take this thing to the bathroom with us.
Yeah.
Right. It's the mobile device. I'm sorry. We don't want to talk about that. We sleep with it by our nightstand. Right. We wake up and the first thing in the morning, we check this thing.
You just triggered a thought that you don't know Jack, Jill. People in Charlotte, North Carolina, or the surrounding 1,000-mile radius, I need your help. I'm going to be doing two public seminars here in Charlotte, June the 14th, a leadership seminar, a sales leadership seminar, and June the 15th, a public sales mastery seminar, and you're invited. All you have to do is buy a ticket and show up. I'm going to be talking about things that will take you through this year and the next decade, and what you have to do to maintain your leadership position, set the standard, and make the money that you're hoping to earn. Go to cgittimer.com, cgittimer.com/Charlotte.
Hashtag Gittimer is back.
It's going to be a hootenanny.
Hashtag Gittimer is hootenanny.
Hashtag I'm going to rock your sales world. Your characterization of Jill is what has brought me 25 years of success. I publish something, people call. And if I made a call to them, they wouldn't call.
Right.
So you mentioned the five pillars and being
four?
One of them. What's the other four?
Yeah.
First, you start out with branding. This is probably the number one mistake that most A, marketing organizations make and B, sales leaders make. And that is they don't take the time to develop the right messaging to attract their buyers. Case in point, we had a client where we actually retooled 1,000 of their sales reps' LinkedIn profiles.
Whoa.
Why? Because out of 1,000 people, you had people who had the skull and crossbones as their banner headline representing the company. You had other people who said they were SEO experts when they sold payroll services, right? So you had this way inconsistent messaging. You had other people who had, I love this one. This is the best one. I just absolutely love it. My tagline on my headline, best contract negotiator.
Oh God.
Right?
Oh God.
No buyer wants to work with the best contract negotiator. In fact, they want the worst one. So the point is that you have to take the time to rebrand and reimage, because here's the reality. If I'm going to have any level of remote interest in what you have that might help my business problem, I'm going to look you up, period. And when they look you up, the question is are you just another sales rep with your resume posted, or are you actually serving me up content and information that helps speak to who you work with, how you help solve problems, and what business problems you actually solve? And by the way, generally, I want to know, have you done it with other clients? So that's the branding piece. And a lot of marketing organizations don't even realize that if you had, just pretend, a 20,000 person sales organization, like a Cisco as an example, that you could literally create 20,000 for free, by the way, right? 20,000 mini Cisco.coms and have it all search engine optimized. And marketers, CMOs have totally missed this one. And when we point this out to the sales leaders and we show them, you know, the profiles of their sales reps, I remember one VP of sales, we were in a meeting. He was a senior vice president of sales. He actually did this. He hit his forehead and was like, I saw your analysis of our people. And I thought, why did I never think to look at these people's profiles to understand how they're representing our brand? We focus so much on the brand when they send an email. Do they have the right auto signature? Are they have the right templates? But we don't focus in on when someone actually looks back to them. So that's number one is branding. Number two is all about networking and teaching people how to leverage their first degree network to understand how to potentially sell more or get more referrals.
And that's social networking, correct? Not face-to-face networking?
Yeah, your online digital network. You got it. And so that's learning how to network. And so we were in a training class just a couple of days ago, and we had everybody sort by their first degree connections. And then we had them sort by the titles of which they go after. We had one student who had over 300 targeted titles inside of his network that he is connected to.
Cool.
And he didn't even know it.
Wow.
Right? So that's
so 300 potential buyers that he knows firsthand.
Yeah, that he's well, and maybe let's clarify. Do you really know them?
Right, like, he knows them online. He's connected to them.
Exactly. Yeah,
you could send them an email.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Well, in this case, you'd send them
because you're connected.
You can see their email. You can see their phone number. You can see all the other information that you can't see when you're not connected. And at least if you were socially active, they would know you. Like most people that I'm connected to, if they're actually on social, they know who Mario is because I'm socially active, right? So you can leverage that from a networking perspective.
But wouldn't they know that if they, it doesn't at LinkedIn advertise that if you send an email, it's going to get responded to 1,000% more than a regular message?
I can't say it's 1,000, but the general stats are actually what we see with our clients. And also I think what I've seen LinkedIn advertise is that the response rate is a 15 to 20% response rate, which is better than a less than 3% response rate for an email.
Really?
They're not comparing it to a LinkedIn message. They're comparing it to an email.
Oh.
Because if you're connected with someone on LinkedIn, you don't have to pay to send them an email.
That's correct. But do you want to know why some of the response rates are actually higher?
Yeah.
So for all of your listeners, this is a great secret tip. look, if garbage in, if you have diarrhea of the mouth and you're pitching, no matter what you say, if you pitch on email and you pitch on an email or you pitch on a message, it's a pitch, right?
Yeah.
It's a pitch. So part of our training program is we teach people what to say and how to say it. But here's one of the reasons why the response rate's so high. Number one, if I send you a message or an email,
mm-hmm.
one of the things that happens is a notification hits your LinkedIn box, right? In addition to that, majority of the LinkedIn users have what's called email notification turned on. And so that message that I sent to you actually ends up in your email box as well. Now, if I were to send, let's just pick a random company. I don't know, a Fortune 100. If I were to send the CSO or CRO an email, what are the odds that my email at vingresso.com went to that CSO? Exactly, zero. You said Jeffrey's holding up his hand is zero. It's zero because the spam filter would have caught it. Here's your next question. What spam filter is blocking at LinkedIn.com, one of the world's largest social media companies?
None.
Zero.
Got it.
That's why the response rate is higher, because nobody and no spam filter is blocking at LinkedIn.com.
I would also argue that if you're paying to send a message, because you pay per those messages, right? If you're paying to send a message, hopefully you're smart enough to send a higher quality, more prospect, relationship yeah. kind of building message than just, here's hey, my product, my yeah. buy it.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, 3 weeks ago, I received a message. It was because I have an open message, so we're not connected. So if you accept open messages, you don't have to use an in-mail, just so you know. So I received a message from a LinkedIn rep that was pitching me on buying Sales Navigator.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's a smart guy.
Well, and the worst part was, is number one, we're a client already. And I wrote back, we're a client. And they said, oh, my mistake. So sorry. And number two, are you freaking kidding me? I'm part of LinkedIn's top 10 sales navigators, sales experts that they brought into the company. You should know this.
That's pretty pathetic.
Did you have a comma? You should know this, you.
No. We've spoken a lot about LinkedIn. Do you have a favorite social network for salespeople?
Besides LinkedIn?
Well, so if I were to utilize them from a digital standpoint, here's how I would rank engagement tools. Number one, definitely LinkedIn. Number two, video. The use of video. So as an example, when someone connects with me, I send them a video message. It's a welcome message. And it's a 1 minute and 29 second video. Generally, you try to keep them under 1 minute. But video is so powerful in today's day and age.
Do you make a new video for each person and use their name, or do you have one video that you send out?
Great question. Depending on it, 90% of most people, it is one video that I send out that is name personalized and there's first sentence is personalized to them, right? I get like anywhere between 100 to 200 connection requests per day. So it's very difficult. But if you're a sales rep, you should create your content. What piece of content is of value to your particular buyer? And if it's working, you use it. If it's not, you change it up, right? Mm-hmm. And this is that trial and error. But you definitely should never send, if you're sending me a message and you say, hey, Tom, and my name is Mario.
Right? Yeah, or I noticed that we're first connections.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I wanted to go ahead and sell you something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But wait a second. Hold on a second. If you get 100 requests a day, and I get a lot of requests, I can't accept any more people. Yeah. How do you get past 30,000?
I'm very judicious with who I accept. First off, I'm at almost 22,000. So I still got about 7,000 left to go. But what I do a lot,
6,999. I just sent you a request.
Jeffrey is, I mean, he has like 4,000 or 5,000 in his inbox wanting to connect with him, but he can't because.
And I didn't even pass the grandfather rule. I tried this, you know, I've been a member since 2008, but.
Here's what I would do. I would literally create a 1 minute video that is a how to follow someone. This is what you do, Jeffrey.
Okay.
You're going to create a 1 minute video. You're going to like, hey guys, Jeffrey Gittimer, listen, I know you want to connect with me and I'd love to accept your connection request, but LinkedIn has prevented me from doing that. So here's what I want you to do. Watch this video. Go to my profile, click these three buttons and click the follow button. That's how we're going to be connected.
That's brilliant.
And if you do that, now what you're going to start doing is you send that 1 minute video message to every single person as a response, because you can reply to every person who's requested. And you say, please watch this video message. This is personal. This is just for you, right? Make it seem like that they're receiving something.
And by the way, if you know me personally, disregard this message.
Yeah.
If you know me personally, please reply again.
Please reply again. Yeah, exactly. And what you want to do is build up your followers. Now, if LinkedIn was smart, They would take influencers like yourself and they would allow you a link that you can easily attach and say, I'm at my limit. Please click this link and you can automatically follow me. If LinkedIn was smart.
Well, they listen to you, so they may do this next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. They must have.
We have a couple of things. Sent mail so far and request followers.
And request followers. So I'm not there yet. But what I do is I instantly go through mine and I'm like, if you're from, you know, Saudi Arabia or Egypt or any of these places that I will never do business in, at least at this point in time, I'm not going to accept your connection request. If you're a web developer or a software developer, I'm not there. That's not my network and that's not my target. So I'm very judicious. I go through that and I XXXX those people out and then I accept those that are in there. But that's what I would do, Jeffrey, is I would create your 1 minute video link, send out a message to them, reply and say, please follow me, that you're at your limit.
Someone suggested to Jeffrey that he start a second profile like Jeffrey Gittimer 2 so that he can get another 30,000.
Or Jeffrey Gittimer Jr.
Whatever. Yeah. What do you think about that?
So technically speaking, it's against LinkedIn's terms and conditions. You're only allowed to have one profile. So have people done it? Yes. But here's the problem. If you do that, you got to create two personas, right? If you have the same profile that has the same picture and the same everything, it's gonna cause confusion. I recommend build up your followers and get into that that giant influencer category that LinkedIn has, and then they'll start amplifying your content. So I would focus on one profile.
So... Okay,
how do I
that's
find
cool.
out how many people are following me? I'm on my profile page.
Right now?
Yeah. How do I find out how many followers I have?
Scroll down to the section where it says your activity. We're in the upper left-hand corner of your activity, it says number of followers.
Wait, that's your number.
No, that's my number of connections.
Hold on.
I took him to the wrong place. Sorry.
Now you're going to make me go search for your followers, right? Here we go. Let me go find.
It doesn't take that long. If you know what you're doing, you're the LinkedIn.
46,343 followers.
Oh, 46,000. Okay. So I should have like 250,000, right?
In theory. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You should.
You should.
All right.
Another way around that is in your email marketing. This is how we've blown up our channels, right? I mean, if you look at what we did when we brought everybody together in Vingresso under one consolidated brand, we've gone from a million people that we touch in social media back in August to our new peak of 13 million people as of February. And everything that we do in our drip and our messaging and our training programs, it is a 3-series connect with us methodology. One, follow our company channel or the individual personally, depending on the details. Two, subscribe to our YouTube channel. And if you don't know the special secret subscribe extension you can put on your channel, I'll send that to you. Okay. But there is you can instantly click that link and it brings up a pop-up that says, would you like to subscribe? As opposed to bringing them to the page and them having to hit the subscribe button. It automatically brings it up. That's number two. And number three, to follow us on one of the other channels. It could be Facebook, it could be Twitter. And so we do that and it's been a massive reach, a methodology that's helped us create massive reach.
One more thing that I want to know.
Okay.
They have influencers on LinkedIn and I missed that cutoff. So evidently I don't influence people.
Not enough, according to the stats.
Right. However, I do have almost 6 million views on my YouTube channel and I do have 112,000 Twitter followers, so I must somewhere, somebody must think something that I'm not full of soup. Do they grandfather anybody in on that, or is that it?
No, it's two separate platforms. LinkedIn doesn't even look at it, but you want me to tell you how to start mastering the art of becoming an influencer?
Yeah.
Bingo.
And when I say influencer, I'm talking about LinkedIn define influencer with the blue icon that says influencer.
Yes.
All right. There's two things that you want to start doing.
A, photocopy the LinkedIn influencer. B, paste.
That's a good one, actually. Never thought of that one. but this is going to be applicable to a salesperson as well, right? So all your YouTube videos that you've got, Jeffrey, anything that you create, you need to post that video on LinkedIn natively. Meaning you need to upload the MP4 natively to LinkedIn, not as a YouTube, Natively to LinkedIn. You know, you can publish through social media over the course of time and drip that in, you know, have the YouTube video go out. But on LinkedIn, you're going to create that video. You're going to upload the MP4 directly into, you know, the upload a video tab. Upload there. Then what you're going to do is you're going to amplify that video within the first hour of it going live. So start it out at 6 o'clock in the morning, local time. You're going to send it to 25 people within your organization. And you're going to say, please like and comment on this thing. What LinkedIn is doing, LinkedIn is actually amplifying it. There's two things that they do in terms of amplify content, like Facebook. Video is one of them. And so what you want to do is that's going to start creating a lot more quote unquote followers of your video content. If you get 25 people to like and comment on within the first hour, LinkedIn's like, ooh, we got something trending here. Let me keep amplifying this throughout the network. And so they are pushing that piece of content. So I think what I see from you is a lot of your YouTube stuff on LinkedIn. You can do that with the social media drip, but take every MP4 that you create and actually upload it directly into LinkedIn. Does that make sense?
Total sense.
That's cool.
It actually makes sense and makes money.
And here's the other thing. If you want another trick, another influencer just called me, who you know, I'm not going to name the person's name.
What's it rhyme with?
What's that?
What does it rhyme with?
No rhyme. Okay. And they said, what if I took my 100,000 person email list and I actually sent an email with the actual hyperlink of the posts for people to engage with? Would that help? Absolutely. So if you've got a hot video that you've created, you use your email distribution list, right, to actually amplify that particular post. And the thing that I said with 25 people, just pretend you've got whatever, how many people you got on your email list. You now take that and it's going to go viral.
Do you feel it's more important to amplify a video that you create and post on your website or wherever? Do you feel it's more important to amplify it and send people to your website or to your LinkedIn? What's more powerful?
It's a great question. If you're an influencer like yourself, you're leveraging the channels and eventually people will get back to you. What they're interested in is the IP and the knowledge that you all have, right? The training information. So you're trying to, just like you've leveraged YouTube, just like you've got Twitter down, now you need to focus in on that LinkedIn component, right? The reality is that if you post do this on your LinkedIn browser, type in on the search bar, hashtag Vingresso Vids, V-I-D-S, Vingresso Vids. There's also the hashtag Vingresso Picks, P-I-C-S. If you type in those hashtags into your search bar, you're going to see a lot of the things that Vingresso's doing. And we don't use our list. We rarely use our list to amplify the social content. Only if it's something like a big major announcement that we're doing.
Like your appearance on this podcast?
Like my appearance on this podcast, exactly.
Listen, let me share something with you. This is just my opinion. You're as good a guest as we've had.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had some pretty damn good ones. But your information is immediately usable and germane to the diehards that listen to this podcast. And we're now at about 50,000 a month, which is not a big number, but we believe that we can grow it to 250,000.
That's fantastic.
Minimum. Yeah.
Thank you very much for the compliment. I appreciate that. I'll take it.
I'll just say this. In spite of the fact that you're from San Francisco, where they do have the Tadich Grill, I will give them that.
That they do.
And they serve, somehow they get the best See's candy in the in the airport, where you can get those caramels and marshmallows and dark chocolate.
Yeah,
they
have really as well. Likes them. Yeah.
It's a trafficy place. And it shakes every once in a while. Have you been there when it's shaken?
My whole life, born and raised here. I've been through every major earthquake we've had.
Wow.
I love it.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Wow.
Hey, it's better than my house being picked up and, you know, into the middle of the air. I'd rather go down on the ground. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. They're both pretty scary.
Yeah, they are both scary.
So, either one. Snowstorm, you're snowed in, you lose power. You know, tornado comes, hurricane hits. Earthquake happens. I don't know if there's anywhere.
Do you live on the west? Do you live on the other side of the? Do you live on the Berkeley side?
No, I did. I actually lived from 18 till 5 years ago. I bought a house in Berkeley, and I lived there. I bought it when I was, you know, in my early 20s. But I stayed there till about 5 years ago. And so I was there for 18 years in Berkeley. I loved it. But then I had two kids. I have a 7-year-old and I have a 4-year-old, both boys. And Berkeley is just, it's just a phenomenal place. There's no spot that I've ever been to that has as much culture as Berkeley does. And when I talk about culture, I'm talking about diversity, people, food, ethnic backgrounds. And I love that, right? But you really couldn't let your kids go out into the court or to the area and play by themselves. So I decided with my wife and I that we decided to sell our house there. And we made a killing on that house because it was Berkeley property, prime real estate. And we moved into what's now the town of Lafayette, which is next to Walnut Creek. So it's the mm-hmm. East Bay.
You're still That's on the cool. same side.
Yeah, I'm actually a little bit further east than Berkeley, mm-hmm. but I'm 20 minutes away from Berkeley.
Got
That's
it.
That's cool. So
if I want food, I go to Berkeley.
I want to go back to our digital selling conversation.
Oh,
for
yeah,
a minute.
Wait. Oh, yeah. We're away from real estate now.
Yeah. So if I'm a salesperson, which many of our listeners are, what can I be doing every day to connect with more people and have those connections turn into sales? What do I need to be doing? Is there a routine? Is there, you talked about your five pillars, but what are the activities I need to do?
That's a great question. So first off, the first activity is get your brand right so that it actually attracts your buyers. That's number one. Number two, leverage your existing network. The number one thing that you can do to accelerate sales opportunities in your pipeline is get a referral. We all know, and in fact, last year the stat was, it came from OpenView published it, but it was, I forget who the stat came from. It's escaping my brain. But the stat showed that 84% of all B2B sales opportunities entered into the sales pipeline as a result of a referral. And we have a two-step methodology for a referral process. Oftentimes you look at, let's just pretend I'm selling to you, Jennifer, and I know Jeffrey's connected to you. And I also know Doug's connected to you.
We're exceptionally connected.
Exceptionally connected. But who has the better relationship, right? Is it Jeffrey or is it Doug? I don't know that until I ask. So a lot of sales reps, what they end up doing is they pick up the phone, they call Jeffrey and they wait for a phone call back. And then nobody called back or they didn't get in touch. And then they're 3 days later, they go out to Doug. Well, this is what one of the things we teach is we actually teach reps. If you see 10 people are connected, you send a message to 10 people and you say, hey, Jeffrey, hey, Doug, hey, Susie, hey, Nancy, whatever it is. I noticed that you were connected to Jennifer and I'm actually looking to schedule a meeting with her. Do you know her well enough that you'd be willing to introduce me to her? Now, what you're looking for from these 10 people that are, you know, are connected to Jennifer is you're looking for someone to say, oh yeah, she's my sister. She's my brother. She's my sister. She's my friend.
I will never be someone's brother, well, unfortunately.
I don't want to make a political comment. I don't want to make a social comment.
Yeah.
Okay. So Jeffrey said, don't screw up when we started this conversation. Sorry, that was my screw up.
It's all good. It's funny.
So what you're looking for is you're looking for who has the best relationship. What a lot of reps make the mistake of doing is they'll say, hey, would you introduce me? But the missing element in this introduction request message is to find out the temperature of how close you are. The missing element is, by the way, if you know Jennifer well enough, I will write a separate introduction message. Let me know. Because one of the challenges that we have as a referrer is I don't want to write the message for who you are, what you do, what business problem you solve, and what you're trying to accomplish. I don't care about that. I want to make it easy. I want to hit the easy button. So what should reps be doing? They should leverage the referral all day long. And once they find out that in this case, Doug has the better relationship with you, now they turn around and they write a customized message that person can then turn around, send it. And what's very important is you specify in the second message to Doug, please copy me on the email if you're going to email, or copy me on the LinkedIn message if you send it via LinkedIn message. And what you want to make sure you always close out a referral request message. If Doug is going to make the referral to you, Jennifer, you always close it out with, you never say, never, ever, ever, ever say, please let me know a date and time that might work for you. Never say that. Why? Because as an executive myself, I'm going to tell you right now, there is no way in God's green earth that I'm going to go open my calendar and go find three dates or times that might work and then play email scheduling volleyball with you. It's not going to happen. So what we tell reps to do is you pick a time that's 2 weeks out at 9 a.m. Pick a time
send
that's
a calendar
3 weeks,
invite. Yeah.
3 weeks out at 1 p.m. Pick a time that's 4 weeks out at 4 p.m. And then like you just said, Jeffrey, now I get it. I'm the person that is they want to meet with me. I might then go look at those individual three dates and times because now I have a place to go. Does that make sense?
That by the way is not the dumbest message. It's the second dumbest message. Please like us on Facebook would be the dumbest message.
I like that term, schedule volleyball.
Email scheduling volleyball.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, in my messages, when people want to book a meeting with me, I use a tool called Auto Text Expander, and you can do short code.
Yeah.
And my short code is book a meeting, and I type it real fast, and then it pops up my message, and it actually says, you know, happy to host a discussion with you to avoid having email scheduling volleyball. Here's the link that you can actually schedule a meeting with me on.
Cool.
Book a 15-minute or a 30-minute or a 45-minute. So there you go. Hopefully someone just got something of value.
That
go get
awesome.
AutoText Expander and set up a short text.
There was a lot of value. Are there any other digital tools that you absolutely love that you feel salespeople should be using every day?
Yes, there are. There's a couple other ones. One of them that I just really love, and this company, they just got funding. And I don't remember the exact amount. I'm going to say $20 million worth of their first round of funding. It's a great tool called Crystal Knows.
Crystal Knows. N-O-D-E-S or N-O-S-E?
N-O-W-S.
Oh, Crystal Knows. Got it.
I'm sorry. K-N-O-W-S. I can't even spell the word knows. K-N-O-W-S. Strike that. K-N-O-W-S. Crystal Knows. It is an artificial intelligence tool. It is simply amazing because what it does is it actually reads the message you're writing, whether it's on email, on LinkedIn, or on Twitter, or wherever you're writing a message at, it reads the message you're writing and it uses a bazillion points of data points and says, hey, you know, Jennifer won't like it if you greet her as, hey, Jennifer, which is what I'd always do. Like, that's my style. It's hey, everything, right? Like, you and I, we're BFFs already.
Right. Right? So, Mario, it's too late. We already like you.
Yeah, we like you. Cool.
Fantastic. So, but what Crystal Knows says is, hey, based upon all the things of how Jennifer interacts online and through social and everything that you can see through public points of references, it's probably better to say, hello, Jennifer.
Wow.
Or hi, Jennifer.
Have you plugged in yourself and determined it's accurate?
Scary.
Wow. Accurate. That's pretty
right?
Cool.
Scary accurate. This is the best one. I'm going to say, Mario is not the type of guy that you should beat around the bush. He likes the direct approach. And I was like, dang it. How do they know that from my social interaction, my Google? If you want to meet with me, you tell me that you want to meet with me, but don't you dare tell me to tell you what the best date and time is because I will not respond to you, right? you got to give me three dates and times, 2, 3, and 4 weeks out, and I'll search for it, right? But yeah, it's very scary. It worked on me. The application works really well, and there's a free version and there's a paid for version. And every sales rep should have that because it really does help you to really adjust your messaging. The second tool, I'll close it off on this one. It's free. It's absolutely free. For God's sake, please download Grammarly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I use it.
It's a godsend, but do not send a message that has a typo or bad grammar error.
Agreed.
I shouldn't say that because I do it all the time. I just did a presentation. You'll like this one. It actually said, who's Vengresso, right? And so I did a presentation recently. And then afterwards, someone sent me a note privately.
W-H-O-S-E.
W-H-O-S-E. That's what I did.
Oh, exactly. No. So a candidate just applied and wrote...
there you go.
T-O instead of T-O-O.
Yeah.
Bad.
But I mean, here's the deal. Here's the deal on that. People are typing quickly and they are not proofreading and they look like idiots because they used the wrong version of your or it didn't autocorrect.
Right.
And that's the society we live in. Grammar is basically dead.
Well,
that's
not
why
to
Grammarly
me.
Exists.
Not to me. It's not dead to
no,
me.
No, me neither, but... I mean, I just flat don't do it. So I'm thinking about getting together with you again, Mario. What are the best times?
I can't tell you. You book a meeting. Here, I'll send you my link.
Mario, this has been amazing. Do people go to vangrasso.com to learn more? Do they link with you on LinkedIn? How do you want them to connect?
Money? How do they send you money?
You can send me money via check, via PayPal, or via a direct deposit into the bank. No, just kidding.
No, you're not kidding.
Yeah, no, yeah, I'll take the money, by the way. Yeah, we'll take the money. Vangrasso, V-E-N-G-R-E-S-O, vangrasso.com. You can certainly reach out to me on LinkedIn and connect with me. Please just make sure you say you heard me on Sell or Die, with Jeffrey and with Jennifer. This way it gives some context to where I was at. Follow me on Twitter at M_3JR. Any other way you might want to reach out to me. Socially engage with me.
Cool.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Actually,
this has been great.
It's been an insightful pleasure. How about that?
I'm excited. I'm glad that it was an insightful pleasure. I appreciate that.
Our people will call your people.
I love it. That's exactly what we want. We can help you master the world of digital
selling.
No,
I wasn't talking about that way. I wanted your check.
The referral.
Boom. Well, that was a connected interview. We seem to have a ton of things in common. I would really like to do more with Mario, but let me ask you guys, what did you get that you're going to put into practice today? Me personally, when I am trying to create attraction on LinkedIn, I post articles that will be of value to salespeople and business owners and sales managers because I know that's who my followers are. So whoever your followers are, you might want to try and put value messages in front of them so that they might not only read it and react to it, but forward it to somebody or share it to somebody who then might become a connection of yours. It's not that easy. It's not that difficult to build your connection base on LinkedIn as long as you're doing something in favor of your connections. If you're only doing it in favor of yourself, you're going to lose. I don't need your ad. I don't want you to tell me the five things I need to do to hire you. What I want you to do is tell me how I can make more money, how I can succeed, how I can be happier, how I'm going to have a better life, how I'm going to be healthy and live happily ever after. You know, like once upon a time, I lived happily ever after. But my challenge to you, diehards, is to get out there. Now, I hope to see many of you in Charlotte. That will be this coming Thursday and Friday, the 14th and 15th of June. I will be at the Mint Museum Uptown. Bring your own food because all we're serving is coffee. And you're going to get a dose of sales leadership on Thursday afternoon and a big dose of sales mastery on Friday morning. There's going to be a ton of people there, a lot of networking, a lot of fun, a lot of laughs, and a lot of aha. And I totally hope to see you there. The Gittimer Learning Academy is also available if you're out of town and you just want Jeffrey all the time. I should be with you, coaching you on your way to your next sales call. I'm on your smartphone. I'm on your laptop. I'm on your tablet. I'm wherever you want, on demand, all the time. On demand, whenever you need it. And searchable by category. So if you want more attitude or you want better questions or you want to close the sale, dude, we got it.
And we recently posted a picture on your Facebook page of a company that was using the Gittimer Learning Academy in their sales meeting. It's a perfect opportunity.
Yeah. So you can violate my copyright law.
Well, they paid for it, at least.
So this is the challenge for you. I want you to make certain that you're having a good time at sales, because if you're not having a good time, something's wrong. You could tell in the conversation with Mario and I that we were having a good time. And the reason is we love what we do. So go back, love what you do, love your customers, love to make a cold call, love to close a sale. Don't be nervous about it. They have money and you want it. And I'm wishing you every sales success, but I have a philosophy. Get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off. See you next time. Sell or Diehards, attention. If you love the show, make sure you have subscribed to the show.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes and give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend, tell both your friends about the best sales podcast on the planet.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true seller diehard, and we thank you.
Thank you.
Merci beaucoup.